Good Wednesday morning. Today is February the 13th. It is 8:31 in the morning, and we are here to seek God's face and to know his heart. Amen. Well, good morning to you. I'm excited. We are day number 7 of our devotion on identity. And yesterday we shook some feathers up, we shook some foundations, we tore some foundations down yesterday that wasn't built on the Word of God. And I know it was a tough message, and it was difficult, but it was necessary. It was difficult, but necessary. And sometimes we have to do things that are difficult, but it's necessary. And that's what God calls us to do. And we have to be obedient, and we have to be faithful in doing what he's told us to do. And yesterday was one of those situations where we have to know our birthright. And we're going to do a little bit of review before we hop in today, but we've been just learning about our identity. And the more we know about our identity, the more we realize that the enemy has stolen our identity or robbed us of our identity, and we realize that he has as he's robbed our identity, we release our authority, and because we release our authority, he has the authority because we've given it to him. And it's no different than going back to the garden with Adam and Eve. God gave us the authority. He said, "Well, you have dominion over the fowls of the air, the sea, and then the all four-legged creatures." So we look at it, and we had that authority, but the enemy came in and deceived Eve, and because she followed the deception and she wasn't aware of her identity, she released her authority to the enemy. And that's what we do. That's what we fall for his temptations. We fall for sin because we don't know who we are. The reality is that once we, let me give you an example. And this was just shared with me. Prince Henry, Prince Charles, Princess Diana, we know that she's passed away. Do you think that there was ever any question about who they were, who they belonged to, what their family line was, and the authority that they had? Do you think? And if you think I'm wrong, post it in the comments. But I want you to really stop and think that the royal family in England from the UK, do you think that there was ever any doubt? Ever any doubt about their authority or the power that they have because of their lineage? And that's what we talked about yesterday. We learned that we are adopted into God's family. And it talks about in John where we're grafted into the vine. So we have to understand that just like Prince Henry and Prince Charles and Princess Diana, that they were all royalty, that they had royal blood, that's the same thing with us. And we walk in that royalty. We walk in that power and authority, the same authority that Jesus had. I want to recap this from yesterday, and then we're going to hop into today's Bible plan. But the Bible lists some of your birthrights. And remember, we're adopted in God. There is no condemnation. You are set free. Christ is in you. You are a son or daughter of God. You are an heir or an heiress. We are called, justified, glorified, and chosen. God graciously gives us all things. You are loved. Nobody can ever accept or reject you out of his love. You are rich. You are empowered. Nothing will harm you in any way. So that was just a little snippet of what we learned yesterday about being adopted. And I do want to let you know that I missed uploading that yesterday. I got busy, and so I did upload that this morning. If you want to go listen to that this morning, it is on the podcast channel, and it's also on the YouTube. And then I'll upload this one right after we finish, so you'll have two to listen to as you go throughout your day today. The title of today's devotion is called "I Am Loved." I am loved. Do you ever feel unworthy, unloved, or insecure? It is a great burden to measure out worth by what others think of you and by your own expectations. Do you sometimes think that you should just try harder to be good enough? Maybe then you'll be worth loving. Human love is limited, small, and conditional. Beloved, here is the good news. God's love for you is massive, constant, and eternal. He loved you and chose you even before you were made worthy through his Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody out there needs to know that they're loved. They're loved and they're cherished. And someone was willing to give up their life for you. For you. That's how much you mean to Jesus. Whether you're hearing that for the first time, or maybe you just needed a subtle reminder today. God, do you really love me? Maybe someone out there said that this morning, or whenever you're listening to this, maybe you're saying, God, do you even love me? Do you even realize this? I'm here to tell you that he does. He notices you. He loves you unconditionally. And his Son died for you. That's how much he loves you. We need revelation to grasp the enormity of God's love. Remember, his love surpasses human comprehension. A mother's love is remarkable, but God's love is extra. It's extensive. It's extreme. It goes far beyond the bounds of moderation to the utmost degree. God's love is extravagant, overly lavish. God's love is unrestrained and excessive. That is why we need his revelation to get it. The reward of gaining this truth is that you will be filled with all the fullness of God. Freedom awaits. God's trademark is love. God is love. You are the object of his love and affection. Allow your eyes to be opened to see the object of his love as you read today's passage. You will never understand his love for you by looking at yourself. You must look at who he is. We love him because he first loved us. Marvel at who he is. He is worthy. He has made you worthy through the cross. I want to go back here. It says God's trademark is love. God is love. Now here is what someone else needs to hear. You are the object of his love and affection. You are the object of his love and affection. And I want to break that down for you. And I'm going to use a natural thing, and it's only to help you understand. But I look at my cell phone, right? It's an object. It's an object. But you place yourself as you being the phone and me being God and saying, you are the object of my love and affection. You are the object of God's love and affection. You need to hear that, and you need to know that, and you need to receive that. You need to believe that today, that you are the object of his love and affection. That if no one else was in the world and it was only you, he would shower you with his love and affection. That's how much he loves you. Revel in that today. Bask in that today. Enjoy that truth today, that you are his object of love and affection. God showed you the full extent of his love on the cross. He took the entire burden for you so that there is none left for you to bear. Never allow the story of the cross to become stale from familiarity. It is the most profound act of love known in life. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Rest. Thank God for his intimate love for you. Wow. See, if you didn't know that God loved you, that's part of your identity. That's part of your identity in him. And then you can relate. If you have a child or if you have grandchildren, you can understand that the love that you have for your own child, the love that I have for Grace, Reagan, and Ollie, it's an intense love. But that love pales in comparison to the love that God has for us. And it's hard to wrap our minds around it, and it's hard to understand, it's hard to comprehend. But the reality is, if you will just rest in that and just say, God, you love me. I am the object of your love and affection. I am the object of your love and affection. Repeat that over yourself today. Wash yourself with that today. Wash your mind with that today. As the enemy comes in and says, you're worthless, you're no good, you're trash, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you, wash, I am the object of your love and affection today and every day. I am the object of your love and affection. You start saying that over yourself. Watch what changes. It's going to be subtle. It's going to be changing in you, but watch the atmosphere around you change when you start speaking that over yourself, because it's the truth. Let's hop into some scripture. Deuteronomy 33, verse 12. Moses said about the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Benjamin are loved by the Lord and live in safety beside him. He surrounds them continuously and he preserves them from every harm. We're going to go to the next scripture. It is Ephesians 3. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And I want to add this for you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. Romans 8:38, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will tell you that there is one thing that can separate us from his love. I will. It's us. It's us rejecting to receive God's love. It's us choosing to walk away. It's us choosing to say, I don't want God. You're rejecting his love. Now his love will continue. And as soon as you, at just the second that you say, God, I repent of that, his love is always there. But as soon as you repent of that, then you're walking in that love. And even when we're walking in sin, and even when we're walking away from him, that love never stops. I don't want to be misconstrued by any means, but we separate ourselves from God. We try to say that God doesn't love us. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they said, I just can't believe God's real. I can't believe God even exists. I said, really? Because if we were to look at your life and we were to look at the destruction, the sin, the drunkenness, the premarital sex with multiple women, the drugs, the things that you did, yet you're still alive. How many times did you drive under the influence? How many times did you put yourself in danger, yet you're still here? But God's not real. You just made it through all of that because you just are wonderful and you're meant to be here on this earth. No, the reality is that God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is a just God. And he has a purpose for that person. And he has a purpose for you. Maybe you're running right now. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're pushing. I want to go back because I need to elaborate, because I feel like the enemy is going to try to misconstrue my words. I am not saying that God's, we just understood that nothing can separate us from God's love. What I want you to see this mental picture that I just saw. How many of us? And this might be a little bit funny, but it's that grandma that comes up and she's got that, I mean, it's probably great grandma, but she's got that big red lipstick and she comes up and she's just going to put one right on your cheek. She'd go, mwah, right on your cheek. We push away. Does that mean that the love from grandma stops? No, I don't want that. That's what we do. That's what I'm referring to. I just want to make sure I'm extremely clear, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he's coming to steal that word that I'm releasing today about the love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I just had to be extremely careful, and I want to make it is 100% clear that that was the illustration that the Holy Spirit just showed me. It's great grandma with big red lipstick trying to kiss you on the cheek, and you don't want to be embarrassed. Romans 5. I used to, my nanny used to do that to me, and I used to love those kisses. I used to love it. And every once in a while, Christian will put some red makeup on and kiss the kids. And it's just one of those friendly reminders. It's just those sweet kisses from God, and or, you know, sweet kisses from in the natural. But I just picture God doing that to us. He's just, let me just plant a big kiss on you, Cody. And you could feel his kisses. Anyway, Romans 5:6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. John 3:16-17. I think you guys know this one. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his only son, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. In John 15:13, there is no greater love than the love to lay down one's life for one's friends. So we've covered a lot of ground today, but what you need to be left with is that God loves you. You are the object of his love and affection, and that won't ever change. And there's nothing that can separate us from his love, except when we push great grandma away. And if you were to walk in that today, if you were to receive that word today, I promise you, it will change your outlook. It will change the way that you love. It will change the way that you communicate. It will change the way that you work. It will change everything, because you are realizing how much, just really how much God loves you. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for your word that was released today. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your undeserved love. We thank you for your never-ending love. Father, we thank you that nothing can separate us from your love today. Father, we just rest in that. Father, we take a deep breath. We breathe in and we breathe out. We breathe in your love, and we exhale all the things of this world, the cares of this world that try to weigh us down, the worries, the fear. Where's our mortgage payment going to come from? How are we going to eat today? How am I going to pay my electric bill? Father, we breathe in your love, and we rest and know that you love us, that you've never left nor forsaken us, and that you are our provider. So, Father, whoever is in need today, Father, I pray that you meet their needs even right now. Lord, that a phone call would come, or that they would open their mailbox, or that they would receive a text message and saying, here's what you need, and it be exactly what you need. Lord, for you to receive the glory, for you to have to help them have their faith built. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your divine appointments today. Lord, may we show your love to those that we come in contact with today. Father, that as we understand your love, we reveal your love to those that are outside of us, and that they would come to know you because we are exhibiting your love. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We repent of those sins. We leave those at the cross today. And Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. We take up the full armor of God, and we walk in your love today. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We will see you tomorrow. Remember, Friday, we're going to have our marriage devotion on communication. We're going to finish that up, and we look forward to seeing you. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful day.